May the words of my lips and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord our God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of people asking me, are you ready for Christmas? And the truthful answer is no, but it's going to happen anyway, so let's just be joyful. Today we enter the fourth week of Advent, and all too soon we move to Christmas Eve, and then of course Christmas itself. But in truth, we're never actually ready. Advent, if we observe it, can be a deliberate and joyful escape from the frantic pulse of getting ready. It can give us breathing room. In today's readings, we're taken to a very different space for preparation, a space of ancient prophecy in Micah. If we'd chosen to have the Hebrews reading, some good theology there. And that wonderful little drama of Mary and Elizabeth told in Luke's Gospel. And each of them contributes richly to our end of Advent experience and spills over into the celebrations that are to come. So let's consider the words of those readings. Micah was a prophet, supposedly some 800 years or so before the time of Christ. And he's one of a group whose prophecies are primarily designed to call the kingdom back to its core values of righteousness and justice, especially for the poor. This passage that we heard read today is not a prediction of the birth of Jesus, though the church has often come to reread it in that way. It is firstly and foremost, and for those who heard it originally, a vision of restoration, of righteousness, with kingship that cares for the values of the nation that have been lost. It contains that image. She who is in labor has brought forth, which we link with Mary, of course, and understandably. But the phrasing in the original language is more ambiguous. The she can refer to the nation or even to something else. Micah is concerned with his land and his people and his governance, about its history and its future, how God will deliver God's people. He's not necessarily prophesying a Messiah. But his message is that in the midst of turmoil, in a nation that has at least partially lost its bearings, God's plan will nevertheless continue to be revealed, and it will involve leadership that brings about a reign of peace. It's a message of hope I think we really need to hear today in our time. If we'd chosen to use it, Paul's letter to the Hebrews set for today reminds us that God's plan involves a restoration not based on sacrifice and expensive offerings, but on God's gracious action of sanctifying each of us as holy beings. Restore us, O God of hosts, show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Now that is a Christmas present indeed. There's a great emotional movement from Micah to Hebrews, a faint hope not answered in the birth of Jesus, a resounding message of peace for all humanity, for those who have gone before, the living and those yet to come. And it brings us to those beautiful words we heard from St. Luke, the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. Now Mary is a young woman, possibly even in her early teens. Well, Elizabeth is older, more mature. Maybe she's got towards the end of what she would hope to be her childbearing years, and at long last she is to have a child. They have the intimacy of being related, but did they talk only of domestic things? I doubt it. Both of them have remarkable experiences surrounding their pregnancies. They share the awareness of some divine involvement, however they understand it. And Mary's great song of praise, the Magnificat, rings down the centuries, a fulfillment of Micah's prophecy, a validation of God who cares for all of creation, who loves it into redemption, with justice and with grace. The early Christian church used this story of the visitation in Luke's gospel as a foundation for the incarnation. Luke includes it as part of the birth narrative because the church was seeking to explain and affirm that the birth of Jesus is not just another birth, not just even another virgin birth. Many rulers of the day claimed similar origins to justify their deification. The young church wanted to clarify the God incarnate, man divine, as an affirmation of humanity. And that is what begins to attract people to this remarkable gospel and to Jesus. This last Sunday in Advent gives us a brief time to reflect upon and kindle within ourselves the light of this incarnate Lord. The foundation is now laid for what we will find later at the manger. So whatever busyness this week may bring for you, let us prepare to join with the shepherds and the angels with great joy for what God has done for us and all that God has made. Amen.